is Pentecost Sunday. And sometimes it's called the Festival of Weeks, and it is a one-day celebration in the Jewish calendar. Now, I don't want you to tune out, oh, well, we're going to talk about a Jewish celebration. What does that have to do with my life today? Well, there is significance in this holiday and what it represents and what God did during this holiday. And we're going to start to look at the scriptures. We're going to actually see how this leads to the renewing of all things, the renewing of our world. So just stick with me and we'll get there today. We're going to look at the Bible and we're going to take a look at the book of Deuteronomy. And that is the fifth book in the Bible. So you can start in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, we see the inauguration of this special holiday, this special festival. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 9, it says, "You are to count 7 weeks, counting the weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain." It says in verse 10, "You are to celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God with a free will offering that you give in proportion to how the Lord your God has blessed you." So here we see, even in this context, that the first offering was free will, and that means that you're not forced to do it, you're encouraged to do it, and it's given in proportion, not how much you give, but in proportion to how the Lord blessed you. Verse 11, "Rejoice before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to have his name dwell." So initially, that would have been the tabernacle as they were in the wilderness. Then there was a temple that was established. And just spoiler alert, now the presence of God dwells in us, okay? But we'll get to that. Let's not rush ahead. Then he goes on, he says, "Who should celebrate it? You, your son, your daughter, your male and female slave, the Levite within your gates, as well as the resident alien," those who aren't even from the community that come and dwell among you, the fatherless or the orphaned and the widow among you. And then it says this, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Carefully follow these statutes." And so what is Pentecost? It's a harvest festival. And the Israelites were to bring everything, come and join together in the place where God dwells. And again, the most established place was Jerusalem once the temple was built there. And there are scriptures that go through and explain all of the ins and outs of how this offering was to be given. And they describe this first fruit spring harvest. Now, the celebration would only last one day, but it was a time that the whole nation would get together and they would give thanks to the provision that God had given them at the very beginning of the harvest season, and it would be looking forward to the anticipation of the full harvest. Now, there were other nations around them, and what they would do is they would try to give sacrifices in order to manipulate or to convince their deity to provide for them. But the Israelites were looking forward in faith. They said, "No, we're going to celebrate the fact that last year God provided. This year God has already started to provide, and in the future he will provide." And so they bring the first fruits of their harvest. Now, this particular celebration happened 50 days after another significant thing on the Jewish calendar, and that is Passover. And they were encouraged to look back to Passover in this celebration and just to recognize that God had freed them, delivered them from slavery. And so on this day, they are celebrating the provision of God. And they're celebrating it that God not only provides in a physical way, but also in a spiritual way. And they can anticipate through this celebration his provision in the future. And I think that speaks to us. I think that what we should do is give thanks for what God is able to do in our lives. I know there's some people that feel like, oh, if I only did everything right, if I only did all of the things that the Lord wanted me to do, that somehow he will bless me more, or he's going to provide for me even more. But we will never get to that place on our own. We need to realize that wherever we are stuck, even if we are stuck in addiction, or we're stuck in sin, or we're stuck doing something or a habit that is not glorifying to God and we feel trapped in it, we don't wait until we deal with that before we come to the Lord. We come to the Lord and we say, look, all provision is from you, and I'm giving my life to you so that you can provide every single thing that I need. They were commanded to celebrate this festival. And so every year from Deuteronomy, they would celebrate this festival year after year. Hundreds of years passed. And then there was a special celebration of the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2. So let's go to Acts now. So you start in Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Oh, wow, look, the fifth book of the New Testament is where we read about this Pentecost. And this is what it says. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. This was recently after Jesus had ascended to heaven. His disciples were together in one place. And then it says, suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. Then they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different tongues, not as they were enabled themselves, but as the Spirit, it says, enabled them. The disciples were gathered during this feast, this celebration of God's provision and the renewal of his covenant of deliverance. And the disciples, they weren't out in the town square. They weren't celebrating with everyone else. At this point in time, they were hidden away in a room, and they were praying. Now, praying is never a bad thing to be doing, especially when one is waiting. And they're waiting for something very specific. They were waiting for the outpouring of Holy Spirit. And this outpouring of God's Spirit is a glimpse of what's to come. They were waiting because of what Jesus had told them just a little bit before. If you go back to chapter 1, you read in verse 4, while he, Jesus, was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. And then he goes on to explain this a little bit more. He said, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. And so right here in the middle of this celebration of God's provision, Jesus' promise comes true. And while the first fruits of the physical harvest was being offered and celebrated in Jerusalem, the disciples received the first fruit of Holy Spirit, a foretaste of what was to come. And so there you see a wind and a fire that was a part of this occasion to show significantly that something had shifted, that something had happened. And we don't read about this wind and fire in future, but we do read later on about different visitations of Holy Spirit. And even up to today, Holy Spirit is coming and just overpouring his presence into our lives. And we're reminded that God's presence is tangible, that God's presence is something that we can experience, something that we can feel, something that we can discern. And what God is announcing on that day and what he continues to announce whenever he shows up is a guarantee of what is to come. We are aware that everything on earth is in a process of decay, right? You, as you get older, your body declares that to you, right? And you see things around you, and so whether it's yourself or family members, you see that this is sort of everything around us is in a state of decay, but the Holy Spirit gives us a foretaste that one day everything will become glorious and liberated from the bondage of decay. Remember, Pentecost was this celebration 50 days after the Passover. It was a reminder of God's deliverance from their slavery in Egypt. And yet, there the disciples were. They knew that there was a new covenant. There was something new that Jesus was bringing. And he wasn't just going to give them physical deliverance, but he was going to deliver them from sin and from death. And that's what Jesus' death and resurrection did. And they witnessed how Jesus delivered them from their slavery to sin and death. And so as the rest of the nation is celebrating God's deliverance from Egypt, Pentecost was, and celebrating God's provision, the disciples witnessed the greatest deliverance ever seen. And we see that this outpouring of God's Spirit is for everyone. Let's go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 5. It says, "Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language." And we find out that all of the disciples were from a certain region and area and didn't speak these languages. That's why they were confused. They said, "Hey, why are we hearing our own languages?" And the disciples witnessed this tongues of fire, this audible wind actually attracts a crowd. They can hear it from wherever they are in the city, and they all gather around. And there's this moment which is a sort of a reversal of what happened earlier in the scriptures. In the book of Genesis, it talks about God confusing the languages because people were trying to work together to bring glory to themselves. But here we see this reversal take place because God is now being glorified in every language. And what happens is that the doors, the walls around that place that they were in seem to disappear. And all of a sudden, they see themselves as a part of the community. And I believe that this indicates the mission of the church, that it involves dissolving doors and going public with courage and conviction. And that as we do that, as we receive the Spirit, that we're in a position that we can revive our world. This outpouring of God's Spirit moves followers of Jesus to action. Moves followers of Jesus to action. See, the early disciples, the early followers of Jesus experienced this tangible presence of God, and it changed everything. They were moved from an upper room to go outside and declare God's praises. Their perspective had changed. They were filled with hope and power as they brought the good news to God's kingdom to those around them. They moved from this self-pity, this self-mindedness. I'm thinking too, as Jesus told them that they needed to wait in Jerusalem to receive power, to receive the Holy Spirit, I'm sure they were thinking to themselves, well, I sure hope this Holy Spirit gets here pretty soon because, oh my goodness, that's a big world out there, and they're really hostile to us, and they're looking for us, and they're persecuting the followers of Christ. I hope that this Holy Spirit comes and just helps us get by, just helps us get to heaven so we can see Jesus again. And they're huddled here and they're waiting, but it doesn't just stay in the house. They are filled with boldness. They are filled with power. And all of a sudden, they're able to do things that they never saw done before. We thought that, okay, surely those who saw Jesus' life and they heard about his death, they saw his resurrection, that they would have been transformed. There should have been a number of people knocking on the door, looking for the disciples to say, how can we serve this Jesus that has risen from the dead? But that wasn't what happened. People went back to their normal lives. They went through the religious festivals. They were thinking, oh, we'll have to wait. The Messiah is still yet to come. And I think that sometimes we get to a place where we're saying, you know what, let's huddle together as a church. You know, there's so many things that are happening outside the church walls. There's no way that we can make a difference. There's no way that we can reach people. There's no way that we can make a difference. We better just huddle together and Holy Spirit, just come and give us power just to survive to heaven. But we see back on that day of Pentecost, I want to encourage you to read the rest of the chapter. You see then Peter realizes that he has something to offer, and he gets out there and he preaches towards the same crowd that watched Jesus perform miracle after miracle and didn't believe. The same crowd that saw him feed the 5,000, raise people from the dead. The same crowd that called for his death. The same crowd that could have inquired and seen that he was risen again. He goes before them, and full of the Holy Spirit, he preaches a simple message to them about God's ultimate provision that is meant for every single person, men and women, every single person. And what happens? They respond. They say, how can we be saved? And he goes and he talks to them. He says this to them. He says, first, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you, what is it today that you need to take that step? Is it the first one? Maybe you're here today. It's the long weekend. Somebody invited you. Maybe you're watching online. You were just going through YouTube, and you happened to stop here. And you are curious about things with the Christian, but you've never stopped and you've never said, I want to repent. I want to turn away from the way that things are in my life currently, and I want to trust God. Is that you today? You can do that. Right now, you can just say, Lord, I repent. I turn away from my way, and I turn towards your way. Thank you for coming and dying for me. Thank you, Lord, that when you rose again, you gave us the gift of Holy Spirit. Come into my life and direct me today. You can just pray that prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, I just want to encourage you to talk to somebody. You can come to one of the pastors or just share that you prayed that prayer. The second thing was baptized. Be baptized. Now, I won't get into the long discussion about the necessity of baptism, but I do believe that every single person who decides to follow Christ should be baptized in water as a way of entering into the community and declaring they're following Christ. We're going to have a water baptismal service in 2 weeks. In fact, on Wednesday, we're going to have the Zoom class just talking about that. You can go to events.mystone.ca, sign up for that, be a part of that. If that's your next step, you've already repented, you've already turned away, but you haven't been baptized, I want to encourage you to join us and to be water baptized. And then the final one that applies to all of us, wherever we may be at, we need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to receive this gift. Worship team, can you help me? We must receive the Spirit to revive our world. And that's my desire for each one of us today, that we would receive the Spirit of God so that we can start bringing revival into our world. And revival isn't just about fervor, religious fervor. No, it's about seeing things transformed and turned into the image that God wants them to be. And it starts with us being full of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and seeing those things accomplished that God wants accomplished. And so we witness this group of disciples now change, and they yes, have this hope, they have this power, but they also have this humility, they have this life of surrender, that they rely on the Holy Spirit, so they don't get proud and arrogant about it. They rely on the Holy Spirit for every aspect of their lives. And you know, today, we can have the same Spirit of God in us, empowering us, guiding us. This past week, I had a major decision to make. And I have maybe shared a couple of stories in the past about how I can be decisive in making a decision, and sometimes that gets into trouble. I'm too decisive. But this decision, it seemed to be one of those decisions where it was just a logical thing to do. Everything lined up. It was one of those what we call no-brainer decisions. But on Wednesday night, I was at our general conference of the PAOC. We're a part of a family of 1,100 churches across Canada, and we were gathered together for a conference, and it was amazing to see thousands of leaders and pastors together. And on the Wednesday night, we were reminded of the significance of Holy Spirit in our ministry and life. And so I left Wednesday night and I said, okay, I've got this decision to make. I think it makes sense, but I really want to hear your heart, God, on what you think about this decision. And so I started to labor in prayer just as I was going to sleep. It was already late. I was praying about this, and I fell asleep just praying about this situation, this circumstance. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, the Lord woke me up. And I was still, I just resumed praying. And as it was getting closer to 3, the Lord just opened things up. He revealed details that I couldn't know about the circumstance and situations, things that would have been hidden, things that may have caused certain challenges and roadblocks in the future. And not only, this is the amazing thing with our God. If we come to Him, if we're relying on His Spirit to guide us. Not only did I know these details, but I confirmed that they were true later in that day, and the Lord told me before the people directly involved in the situation. I was able to tell them that what the Lord had said. And again, we got confirmation of that. Now, folks, I'm not special, but the Holy Spirit is. And He can help you and he can help me be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so today, on this Acts 2:4 weekend, you can experience the outpouring of the Spirit in your life. This is just the first fruits of where he wants to take us, what he wants to do in our lives. But as we receive God's Spirit, we will revive our world. And so I want to ask, is there anybody who wants to receive God's Spirit today? I want us to stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. And we're going to come towards the front here in just a moment, but we're going to do it in a particular way. All right? What I want you to do is, if you are under 20 years of age, I want you to come first. Come first. Come to the front. Anybody 20 years of age, come on. We all need the Spirit. Come on to the front. Anybody that's under 30, come and join them. Come on. Let's go. All right, we got a contingent. Now we need anybody under 40. All the 40s. Come right up. Come right up. We're all going to be joining together as a community. Come on, come on. All right, now not to expose anybody else, everybody else come. All right, come on. All right up. Come right up. Come right up. Come right up. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. We're going to have an opportunity to pray and ask the Lord to do something in our hearts. Come right up. You got to get closer. You got to practically be up here on the stage. Come on, fill in every gap. Come on, let's go. So first we're going to sing that song, Fresh Wind, again, and then I'm going to come and just give you some instructions. But I want you just to seek it, the Lord. Again, just like on that day of Pentecost, that first day, they didn't know what to expect, but they were open to whatever the Lord wanted to do. Let's be open as well today. Amen? All right, come on. We can fill in a few more people. Don't be shy. Come a little bit more forward. Go out to the wings there. There are stairs and elevators in this building. If the people from the balcony want to come down, you can join us as well. All right, Tanya, come and lead us. Let's lift our